السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. We begin today's session by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector, and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, yesterday we discussed about Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wa salam. We spoke about his nation, who by killing the camel, which was a sign and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they incurred the wrath of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon themselves. May Allah azza wa jal protect us all from falling into a pit where we incur his wrath and his anger. Ameen. So after that disastrous incident that took place, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam and the believers who were with him, they lived for a period of time upon Tawheed, upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, shirk started to rear its ugly head once again. And this time it was in the lands of Babel. It was in the lands of Babel, otherwise known as Babylon. People started to associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started to worship idols along with Allah azza wa jal. And they even went on to worship, like I mentioned yesterday, celestial objects like stars, the planets, the moon, the sun. They started to worship celestial objects. So this was the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he appointed a great prophet to remind them. And this prophet was soon to become a khalil of Allah, a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This prophet, he was born in Babel, he was born in Babylon, and his name was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah azza wa jal, he talks about him in Surah Al-Anbiya. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And indeed, we bestowed upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam rushdahu min qabl, his portion of guidance aforetime, in the sense before. Min qabl, wa kunna bihi alimin, and we were well acquainted with him. We were well acquainted with him in regard to his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regard to his intuition towards Allah azza wa jal, towards tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to mention how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam very politely tried to reason things out with his father. Now before we go further, who was his father? His father's name, according to the Quran, his name was Azar. His name was Azar, and scholars of history mention that he used to make idols for a living. He used to make idols for a living. He used to sculpt idols and sell them. And this is what he used to do for a living. He was a carpenter or potter, if you will. He used to make idols and sell them for a living. So Allah Azza wa Jal talks about how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam very politely tried to reason things out with his father. Now we need to understand that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam at that time was a youngster. He was a young boy, and he is now trying to reason things out with his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it, where he states, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And mention, or remember in the book, in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And mention in the book Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Verily he was a man of truth. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا. He used to speak the truth. And نَبِيًّا, he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now begins the dialogue, the conversation between Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, young Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and his father Azar. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. My dear father, Ya Abbot, my dear father, look at the polite manner Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is approaching his father. Ya Abbot, lima ta'budu ma la yasma? Why do you worship something that cannot hear? Why are you worshipping something that cannot hear you? وَلَا يُبْصِرْ, nor can it see. لَا يَسْمَعْ وَلَا يُبْصِرْ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا, nor can it benefit you in anything. It cannot avail you in anything. It's just an immovable object, an idol, a statue. What's the point of worshipping this? Because it cannot hear, it cannot see, nor can it benefit you in any way. Why are you worshipping this idol? And then he goes on to ask him, Ya Abbat, inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika. He informs his father, Oh my father, there has come to me of knowledge, min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tik. There has come to me of knowledge that you are not aware of. In other words, that has not reached you. He's talking about the prophethood and the revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma lam ya'tik, fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya. So follow me. Follow me, I will guide you. Ahdika siratan sawiyya. I will guide you onto the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast upon the straight path. Ameen. Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan. Oh my dear father, do not worship the devil. Oh my dear father, do not worship the devil. In other words, don't sell your soul to the devil. Do not worship the devil. Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. Verily, the devil, Satan, has been a rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. He has been a rebel. He has been disobedient unto the most merciful, ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. Ya abat, inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahmani fatakuna lishaytani waliya. Oh my dear father, verily I fear a torment may overtake you from Allah, a punishment if you persist in what you are doing. I fear that a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the most merciful, from the most beneficent, may overtake you. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا, and that you may become a companion of the devil in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. As you can clearly see, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, he was reasoning things out with his father in a very respectable and dignified manner because of the respect that he had towards his father. Because after all, he is his father, his parent, and it is upon us to treat our parents in a very respectable and dignified manner. Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever he talks about ibadah and whenever he prohibits us from shirk, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state? وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Many a place in the Noble Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ibadah, right after that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Treat your parents with excellence. Ihsan in the sense with excellence. Excellence upon excellence. Treat your parents with excellence upon excellence. There are many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, many ayat of the Noble Quran that enjoin upon us good treatment towards our parents. Good treatment towards our parents, otherwise known in the Arabic language as birrul walidain. We need to treat our parents with excellence upon excellence. Even if our parents are disbelievers, yes, we cannot follow them in what is wrong, nor do we have to listen to them if they command us to do something that is wrong, that is against the guidelines of Sharia. But other than that, we have no permission whatsoever to sever the ties between ourselves and our parents. We must maintain our family ties with respect and dignity towards them. Because after all, they are our parents. Today you and I, we are seated here, we're standing here. It is because of what our parents sacrificed. They nurtured us, they grew us up, they made us, they looked after us. They did all of that, and here we are now. So we must be grateful unto them and unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal in regard to their treatment. We must treat them with excellence upon excellence. We have no permission whatsoever to hurt them. They are massive doorways into Jannah, into paradise. I implore all of you in this month of Ramadan, if you have perhaps, if some things have gone sour with your parents, don't let it fester, don't let it dwell, rather immediately go and patch up things with them. Ask for their forgiveness and patch up things with them. Because there is no point in you being a great worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah azza wa jal throughout the month, if things have gone sour with your parents. Don't let these problems dwell for too long. We must try to patch them up as soon as possible. Seek their forgiveness. It doesn't matter whether we are right or wrong. At the end of the day, they are our parents, and we need to seek their forgiveness, and we need to keep them happy. We need to keep them happy. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he states that if an individual makes his mother or father cry, then it is upon that individual to make his mother and father laugh and smile once again, if he wishes to secure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because very closely linked with ibadah, good treatment towards one's parents. Very close with the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of one's parents. We need to treat them with the best of treatments. We need to be the best children unto them. This is what Islam teaches us. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what goes around comes around. In other words, if you do something, you will have to face the consequences in regard to your deeds, either in this world or the hereafter. If you do good, you will receive good. If you do bad, no doubt you will receive bad, either in this world or the hereafter. So we must do good to receive good. Once, there was a scholar from the lands of Arabia. He mentioned a story that took place. And the story as well took place somewhere in the lands of Arabia. This is in regard to an individual who had two parents, and his mother passes away, and now he has only his father. His father was a very old man, and he was finding it difficult to manage things by himself because he was old. Due to senility, due to old age, he was finding it very difficult. So, but he didn't want to burden his son, because his son was now married, and his son had a little child of his own as well, a young boy. So the father did not want to burden his son by perhaps moving into their house, and he thought that it would inconvenience them. But after some time, what happened was, the son found it a burden upon himself, because he had to travel often from his house to his father's house to visit him, and then he started falling sick and things like that. He was finding it very difficult to look after him being, in his own house. So he approached his father and said, "Dad, why don't you move into my house? It'll be a lot easier for me to look after you then." So the father then looks at his son and says, "But son, I don't want to burden you. I don't want to inconvenience you." And the boy said, "No, but you being here is a bigger burden for me. So if you move into my house, it will be a lot easier for me to look after you." So the father agrees, he packs his things, and now he moves into his son's house. But the son did not inform his wife in regard to this new development. And the wife, in other words, the old man's daughter-in-law, was not happy at all with this new arrangement. She goes to the son, in other words, and she tells him, why on earth have you brought your father in here? Am I to be a slave to my father-in-law now? Am I to look after your father? I got married to be with you and look after you, not look after your father." She started to speak in a very harsh way. The boy then said, "No, please, he is old and we need to look after him. These may be his last days, and I have to be with him. I have to look after him." He convinced his wife. Now days pass, and what happens is, generally when they serve food, because of old age, he started breaking the crockery, the utensils, he started dropping things, he started spilling food, and he was making things a little difficult because of his old age. And the wife of this man, the young man, she was also not making things easy. She was making it difficult by, keeping on nagging by her husband and complaining to him that, "Look, it's a big difficulty for me. I can't maintain the house. It's very difficult with your father. Please take him out of the house. Why don't we keep him out? We have the quarters outside." Now these quarters were generally used for drivers and the servants of the house. This lady, she told the man, "Look, why don't you keep him outside, and he won't make a mess in the house, and we can still look after him." Allahu Akbar. The man, he listened to his wife. And that is what is happening sadly today. Children, youngsters, are listening to their friends disobeying their parents. Men are listening to their wives and disregarding their mothers, disregarding their fathers. Allahu Akbar. My dear brother, any woman on earth can be your wife, but any woman cannot be your mother. Just any woman cannot be your mother. Your mother is your mother. But any woman on earth can be your wife. And dear sister, any man on earth can be your husband, but your father is your father. No one can replace your father. So we must give priority to them. We must look after them. But this man, he listened to his wife, and now he goes to his father and tells his father, "Dad, I'm really sorry, but you know, you seem to be making a big mess at home, and it's difficult to look after you, and my wife is also finding it difficult. So I kindly request you to please move out of the house, and you can live in the quarters outside, but we will still look after you. I hope you don't mind." The father's heart was broken. I mean, he brought this boy up. He looked after him. He gave him the very best. He strove hard. He perhaps paid for his education. And now today he's an engineer, he's a doctor, he's whatnot. All because of his father's struggle. And now the boy is telling the father, now he's, you know, in his old age, ripe old age. And the boy is telling his father, "Get out, you can stay in the quarters outside." The man, he does not say a word. He packs his bag and he quietly moves out, because like I said earlier, he did not want to be an inconvenience, and he did not want to be a burden upon his son. He moves out to the driver's quarters, and now he lives there. Now what used to happen was, this girl, the lady, she used to cook food for the family, and because she valued her expensive crockery, her ceramic ware, she did not want to send the plates out to the driver's quarters, because she feared that the old man, her father-in-law, might break the expensive plates. So she got a cheap plastic plate, and she used to put the food on that plate and send it through the maids. And this plate, because it was made of plastic, after a period of time it started to get moldy and old. It started to get very dirty and old looking, but she did not bother to change the plate. She kept sending the food using the same plate. Now after a few days had passed, one day the maid takes the food, the plate, and she goes to give the food. She knocks on the door, because in general she used to knock the door and leave the food by the door, because the old man would open the door and then take the food. They wouldn't even go inside to see his plight. Now, since the day his father moved out, the young man never ever visited his father, because he was busy. He did not bother to visit his father. Now, after a period of days, now what happens is, this maid goes to give the food. The maid knocks on the door and there's no response. So she knocks again, no response. So finally, she's wondering what's happening, and she opens the door. The sight that greeted her shocked her. She dropped the plate onto the floor, because the old man was sprawled on the ground. He had passed away. He had passed away. She runs back home saying, "The grandfather has passed away. The grandfather," because she also used to call him grandfather because of his old age. "The grandfather has passed away. The grandfather has passed away." Now the man was getting ready to leave for work. The minute he heard that, you know, shock gripped him, because it was his father at the end of the day. He runs outside and he asks the maid, "What happened? What happened?" "No, your father has passed away. He sprawled on the ground." The man rushes to the quarters to see what had happened. And then when he saw his father, and when he saw the state that his father was in, he was appalled and disturbed, because his father was sprawled on the ground. There were dirty clothes strewn all over the room, and the room had a bad stench to it. And then the plate was thrown on the ground, because the maid had dropped the plate. There was food all over the place, and there was this bad, disgusting smell that was coming from the room, because nobody bothered to clean the room, nor help the old man wash himself, etc. So the room was in a very bad state. The man just entered and came out, and then he quickly called the maid, and he said, "Get the drivers, get the maids, we need to clean the place up, get some garbage bags, and call the funeral service so that they can arrange for, you know, the burial arrangements for my father, and get some garbage bags, let's clean this up, the house looks a mess." Now whilst he was instructing the maids and the drivers to do what they had to do, his little boy, his son, comes running, because he too had heard that grandfather had passed away. He comes, he didn't have a good relationship with his grandfather, because he rarely saw his grandfather, the little boy. He comes running into the room, and he sees the little, that plastic plate thrown on the ground. He goes and takes the plate. The man, the minute he saw his son taking the plate, he said, "Son, what are you doing? Why are you taking that dirty plate?
I don't know how much of germs and bacteria might be on it. Just leave it. Come outside. This is not where you need to be. Go back home. Go back to your mother. The boy, the little boy, very adamantly hugs the plate. And he says, no, dad. I need this plate. The father, the man, he asks him, why do you need this plate? It's so dirty. Just go back home. The little boy says, no, dad, I need this plate because when you become old, I have to feed you on the same plate. You see? Like I said, what goes around comes around. If you do good, you will receive good, inshallah ta'ala. But if you do bad, you have to, no doubt, face the consequences, the repercussions. You have to face it either in this world or the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal is the best of judges. Allah لا يظلم مثقال ذرة. Not even an atom's weight or a mustard seed amount would be, you know, let to go in vain, or the oppression will not be, a blind eye will not be turned in regard to even an atom's weight of oppression or a mustard seed's amount of oppression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So coming back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as you can see, he was having a very respectable, dignified conversation with his father. And he spoke to his father. He was trying to reason things out with his father in a very respectable manner. But sadly, his father responds back in a very harsh manner. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was trying to make his father understand things and see the light of Tawheed. But sadly, the father now responds back in a very harsh manner, and he says, قَالَ أَرَاضِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The father says, أَرَاضِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Do you reject my gods, O Ibrahim? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. And then he goes on to say, if you do not stop this, in other words, this dialogue, I will stone you, I will definitely stone you to death. لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. I will definitely stone you to death. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. So, go away from here before I punish you. Just get away from here. He chases his son. He chases his son away. And not just away from where they were talking. He chases him away from his house. He says, get away from here. You and I, we have nothing to do. Get away from here. He threatens Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he chases him away from his house. But even after such a harsh response, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam responds back to his father, maintaining the same respect and dignity as earlier. He states, قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. He says, peace be unto you, my dear father. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. Don't worry, I will pray for you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. Verily, he is the most merciful unto me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful unto me. Now in regard to seeking forgiveness for his father, this was not something that he had been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And that is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said so. But later on, Allah azza wa jal reveals that it is not permissible for the Prophet or the believers to seek forgiveness for the kuffar, for the ones who have associated partners unto Allah or rejected Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a young boy at that time, like I said earlier, but Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed him with knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with wisdom, and Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed him with a correct intuition towards Tawheed. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ نُورِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. So thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, so that he becomes one of those who have firm conviction, so that he brings about faith with certainty. So this was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, like I said, because he was an intelligent young boy, he looked up at the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فلما جن عليه الليل رأى كوكبا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين. When the night enveloped him, when the night covered him with darkness, he saw a star, رأى كوكبا. He saw a star. And then قال هذا ربي. This is my Lord. The young boy, he was looking up at the heavens and he saw a star and he said, هَذَا رَبِّي, this is my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ, but when the star vanished, when the star, you know, disappeared, I mean when the dawn starts to break, the stars all disappear, he goes on to say, قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ, indeed, I do not like those things that disappear. I don't like those things that set, because what he was trying to highlight here is that a God has to be present at all times. I mean, he cannot be present at a time and absent at another time. Allah Azza wa Jal is never absent. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is present. So when he saw that the star had vanished, he said, I don't like things that vanish. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. When he saw the moon now rising, he said, okay, this is my Lord. هَذَا رَبِّي. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَئِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّهِ لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ. But then the moon vanished as well. The moon vanished after a period of time. And then he said, Ya Allah, he says, Rabbi, unless my Lord guides me, لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ, I will surely be amongst those who commit mistakes or those who have gone astray. Now he was praying that Allah should guide him. Next he sees the sun. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ. Now when he saw the sun, he said, this is my Lord, because this is greater. The sun is obviously greater than the moon and greater than the stars. But then what happens? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ, the sun set as well. And then he says, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. That's when he realizes all of these celestial objects are nothing but things that people have associated unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the supreme Lord. So he says, قَالَ يَا قَوْمْ إِنِّي بَرِئٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Oh my people, I am indeed free from all those things that you associate as partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally he declares his faith.
إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Verily I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth, حَنِيفًا. In other words, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Worshipping none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I am not from the mushrikun. I am not from those who associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now after this declaration, he now goes to his people. Now this was after his conversation with his father. He now goes to his people and tries to reason things out with them.
إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ.
He said to his father and his people, what are these tamathil? What are these effigies? What are these statues? أَلَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ, to which you are devoted so much. I mean, what are these statues that you are so devoted unto? They're not going to benefit you in any way. And their reply was,
قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ.
They said, we found our fathers, وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا, we found our fathers worshipping these idols, that is why we are now worshipping them. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, being so young at that time, he admonishes them,
قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
He said, indeed, you and your fathers, your predecessors, have been in manifest error. You have been in a clear error. You have committed a big mistake, a grave mistake. Now they question Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.
قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ.
They ask him, have you brought us the truth? أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ,
أم أنت من اللاعبين؟ Are you just playing around? Are you just fooling around with us? قال بل ربكم رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهن وأنا على ذلكم من الشاهدين.
Now he says, nay, your Lord, ربكم رب السماوات والأرض. Your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created all of that. And I am one of the witnesses. I witness to that. Allahu Akbar. And they don't seem to be responding. They don't seem to be listening to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he just, you know, voices this out to himself. But some of the people heard it. He said, وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. He says, I will plot a plan to destroy your idols after you have gone away and turned your backs. Now this was something, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was revealed unto Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a prophet, remember. So he was inspired to do this and he wished to drive a strong point home. And this is why he plotted this plan. So after a period of time, now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has grown up, okay? And a day of celebrations came about. A day of celebrations came about. They had a day of Eid, where in general, they used to go and offer a lot of sacrifices to their idols and their statues. And then they used to go out to the outskirts of the village or the city. And then they used to celebrate the whole night. They used to celebrate doing all kinds of wild and lewd acts throughout the night. This was their day of celebration. So when this day approached, they started to invite people and gather a crowd. So they invited Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as well. To which he seized the opportunity and he replied, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling that well, I'm sick. Now you might wonder, did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam lie? Did he lie? Well, scholars rahimahumullah, they explain that he intended when he said, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ, he said, I am sick, and he was intending that he was sick at heart. He was sick and appalled by that what was happening around him. He was sick of everything that was taking place around him. So this is what he meant when he said, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ, even though he deems it as a lie. Later on, you will study, inshallah ta'ala. He deemed it as a lie. He deemed it as a lie. He deemed this as a lie. He deemed another lie as well. When they were crossing the border of Egypt, there was an oppressor of a king who tried to take them as prisoners. So at that point too, he referred to his wife as his sister. But there is an interpretation to that as well, because he could have meant his sister in Islam. So we have interpretations. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he deemed these statements as lies, but still, the scholars rahimahumullah have put forward interpretations, because a prophet of Allah, he knew what he was doing at the end of the day. So he said, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ, I'm sick, just leave me alone. So the people left him alone and they went about with their celebrations. So they started off by offering a lot of sacrifices unto their idols, unto their statues. And like I said, they headed out to the outskirts of the village now to celebrate. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he seizes the opportunity and now he goes to the idols. So there was a place, perhaps a temple or a place of worship where they had kept all of their idols. He goes to the idols. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِهَتِهِمْ فَقَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. He goes to their gods, their idols, and he says, you know, there are so much of offering, so much of food around you. Why? He's talking to the idols now. Why are you not eating these, offerings that the people have offered unto you? Why are you not consuming the food? Why are you not eating of the food? مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنْتِقُونَ. What is the matter? Why are you not speaking with me? Why don't we have a nice conversation? Why are you not talking? فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ. He knew. He was just, you know, trying to drive a point here, that these idols have no strength whatsoever to eat, drink, to talk, to see, to speak, to hear. they could not benefit nor harm anything. They could not even protect themselves. Allahu Akbar. Now he had an axe with him, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He had something similar to an axe. He started to break idol after idol. He started to break idol after idol into smithereens. He broke each and every idol. فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينِ He turned upon the idols, striking the idols with his right hand. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا He broke them to smithereens. He broke them to pieces, tiny, tiny pieces. إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ Except the biggest of them all. There was a huge idol, the main, the boss idol. He left that alone and he broke all the other idols. And finally, he took the axe and slung it over the neck of that idol and he leaves. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves. He, like I said earlier, was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what he did. And he wanted to drive a very powerful message home. Now the people come back after their celebrations. They come back after their celebrations. And they go by the temples, they go by their temples, and they see a sight that shocks them and leaves them aghast and petrified. They saw all their idols in pieces. And then they ask, قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ They cry out, who has done this to our gods? Who has done this to our aliha? The one who did it must indeed be from the zalimun, the oppressors, the wrongdoers. Allahu Akbar. Their idols cannot protect themselves, let alone protect the people. And now they're looking at their idols and they are so petrified. Who has done this to our idols? The one who did it must be from the oppressors. Now there was a group of people, like I said, who remembered that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had said something along the lines of these words, تَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ I will plot against your idols. So this group, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا They said, we heard Fatan, a youngster, يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ We heard a young man talking against our idols, and this young man, he is known as Ibrahim. His name is Ibrahim. Now the majority, they say, قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ They said, then bring him. Bring this youngster before the eyes of the people so that they may testify. Now this group, they said, bring him in front of the people so that the group that said that they heard him saying that he will plot against the idols so that they may testify against him, bring him. Now they go and they bring Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers in Islam, put yourself in the shoes of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Just imagine. Now being brought to be interrogated. Just imagine. But still he was courageous, he was strong, he was bold. And he did not waver, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They brought him and now they start to interrogate Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They ask him, قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ They ask him, Ibrahim, are you the one who did this to our gods? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam very, very coolly replies, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا He replies, no. That guy, he's the one who did it, the big guy. He's got the axe around his neck. Why don't you ask him? فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ Why don't you ask him if he can speak? Now they angrily reply, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ They say, Ibrahim, you know very well that these idols cannot speak. Why are you talking foolishly? These idols cannot speak. Now this was the moment Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was waiting to drive this point very strongly home. He says, قَالَ أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ Then what on earth is the point of you worshipping these things other than Allah that do not benefit you nor harm you? Why are you worshipping these things? You know that they cannot speak. You know that they cannot protect themselves. You know that they cannot benefit you nor harm you. So why on earth are you worshipping these things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he goes on to say, أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Fie upon you, woe be unto you, وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ And upon that which you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Have you no knowledge? Can you not understand? Why can't you perceive things? He says this very harshly unto them. Now the people, they were at a loss, and they decided. Now, they were at a loss. They were at a loss for words. They did not know what to say, because they were cornered. They were properly cornered. So they decided to teach Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a lesson. They decided to teach Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a lesson, and they decided to burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam alive to avenge their false gods who were broken into pieces. So they, some of them said, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. So they said, burn him, thereby helping your gods. In other words, burn him to avenge your gods. As a move to avenge your gods, burn him alive. If you're going to do something, burn him alive. So now, the people, they start to build a huge fire, a huge bonfire, a huge furnace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what they said at that time.
قَالُوا بِنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ.
They said, build for him bunyana, build for him a building of fire. In other words, a furnace so big that it is like a building. A fire that is so huge, they should look like a building. فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. And then throw him into the blazing inferno. Throw him into the blazing fire. Allahu Akbar. فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, they plotted against Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but we made them losers. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So these people, they started to gather firewood from all over the place. They started to gather firewood from all over the village. They started to gather as much firewood as possible. And there were even people, there were even women who used to take oaths. They used to go to the temple and they used to take oaths by their gods, by their idols, that if this happens, if that happens, if I am blessed with a child, if I am, you know, blessed with so much of wealth, I will gather this many piles of firewood, that many piles of firewood. If I am blessed with children, if I am blessed with this and that. They used to take oaths. They say, if I am blessed with a child, I will gather 10 piles of firewood to burn Ibrahim. And then just in case, if it was a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if that individual gave birth to a child, she used to go and collect 10 piles of firewood and come and dump it to burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, a huge fire was built, so huge that even birds could not fly over the fire. Even birds could not fly over the fire, except that these birds would fall to the ground charred due to the intense heat of the huge flames that leaped around. It was such a huge bonfire that they built. His father, his mother, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's father, mother, they were all, his whole family, they were all part of the audience waiting to see Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam burnt alive. But now, they were in a predicament. They were in a bit of a problem. They had built such a huge fire that they had no way of getting close to the fire. They had no way of getting close to throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into the fire. The scholars of history mention that the devil, Shaitan, he came to them in the guise of a human being and taught them how to build a catapult. He taught them how to build a catapult. And historians mention that this was the first catapult ever to be built. This was the first catapult ever to be built. So they built this catapult to fling him into the fire. They tie Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam onto the catapult and they were about to fling him into the fire. Now let's pause for a moment. Just imagine how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam must have felt at that moment. Put yourselves, there's no point in just talking about the story if we do not internalize the story and try to derive lessons. Just imagine how he must have felt. This was the point when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, like we mentioned in the previous session, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, not just any ordinary angel, archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the biggest and most powerful of all angels. He comes down and he says, Ya Khalil Allah, O friend of Allah, just tell me what you want done. Just tell me what you want done. The size of Jibreel, if you were to just, I think, flick his wing like this, the fire would have, you know, extinguished. If he had just flicked his wing a little. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looks at Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and very calmly he says, from you I need nothing. My focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir.
Allah is sufficient for us. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, and He is the best disposer of your affairs. You may be going through a bit of difficulty, a patch of trouble in life, but never lose hope, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Never despair. Never lose faith in your Maker, who is the best disposer of your affairs. He is the best disposer of your affairs. He will look after you. He will dispose of your affairs in the best manner possible. Just have faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. And so when he said that, they launched the catapult, and he was thrown right into the blazing fire. The people were looking on with glee and happiness, expecting him to burn to ashes. Because such a huge fire, birds could not fly over the fire, except that they fell to the ground charred and burnt black. He was thrown right into the midst of the flames, so they were expecting him to burn to ashes. But something entirely different took place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the blazing fire,
قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the fire, O fire, be a coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what are the general properties of fire? To burn things to ashes. These are the properties of fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the properties of fire to become a place of coolness and safety. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, scholars mention that if Allah azza wa jal had only said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا, O fire, be a place of coolness for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would have frozen inside there. It would have become colder than even the North Pole or the South Pole. It would have become a place so cold. But Allah Azza wa Jal said, Bardan wa salaman. Become a place of coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, later on when he came out, he states that the time that he spent inside the fire was the best period of time that he had ever spent on the face of this earth. Because Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded the fire to be a place of safety, a place of coolness, happiness for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Now, Allah commands the fire to be a place of coolness and safety only for Ibrahim. عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ, just for Ibrahim. What about the ropes that were around Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? He had been tied. Even those ropes, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, burned to ashes. The ropes burned to ashes, but not a single hair of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was harmed. Not a single hair. Because he had the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal states, وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. They planned, they plotted to harm him, but we made them losers. Allahu Akbar. Now the people around the fire, they could all see Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam safe and sound within the blazing flames. They could see him safe and sound. They can see him praying unto Allah. They can see him offering gratitude, maybe sajdatul shukr, prostrations of gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were amazed, they were shocked. They were thinking, how on earth is this possible? But sadly, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, even after witnessing such a big miracle, as is the case with mankind, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes out of the fire, you know, perfectly safe and sound, and the only people to believe in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam were his wife Sarah and his nephew Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, whose story is coming up inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Sarah, these were the only two believers who believed in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this news of this amazing spectacle traveled to the king of that village, of that city at that time. His name was Namrud. The minute he heard about this, the minute he got to know about it, he commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to come to his palace because he wanted to prove his power to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this conversation in the Noble Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
And did you not see the one who disputed with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fi rabbihi an atahu Allahu al-mulk. And this was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a kingdom. He thought of himself, he thought high and mighty of himself, just because Allah azza wa jal had blessed him with a kingdom. Idh qala Ibrahim rabbiya alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, my Lord is the one who gives life and death. قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. This king, Namrud, he said, I too give life and death. He called for two prisoners who were imprisoned. He released one prisoner and he executed the other prisoner, saying, look, I gave life to that prisoner, I killed this one. I also give life and death. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then uses a beautiful logic to corner him, and he says, قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ. My Allah, he brings out the sun, he makes the sun rise from the east. فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. If you can, bring the sun, make it rise from the west, if it is possible. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. The ones who disbelieve, they were utterly defeated. Buhit in the sense they were flabbergasted. They couldn't say anything. What can they say? Can he bring the sun from the west? Can he bring it out from the west? Totally impossible. So they were utterly defeated. They were cornered. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah guides not the people who are ظالمون, who are wrongdoers, who are oppressors. After this incident, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, he commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to leave his people and to leave the land that he was in. In other words, he was commanded to migrate away from that land. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he leaves that land, he leaves his people with his wife Sarah and his nephew Lut. So where did he migrate? Where did he go? What happened afterwards? All of that, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be discussing it in tomorrow's session. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.